This program was first broadcast on Canterbury's access media station, Plains FM, and was made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
I'm Emma.
And I'm Mina, and we're from Te Ngata Tumutu Trust.
And you're listening to
Pallyhood!
Talofalava malo le ni se bolu vanaka kia ora na taloha ni konnichiwa ni ha ma warm Pacific greetings and a massive kia ora to each and every one of you. Whatever corner of this globe you're tuning in from, I'd like to welcome you to the Pallyhood Show 96.9 Plains FM. You're here with Sam and Sifa here to take you into the long weekend. How are you being, Sifa?
Good. Yeah, you actually just reminded me, it's another long weekend. Is
yes. Back-to-back long weekends.
And then Matariki after that.
Is that a holiday?
Yeah,
it's like a public holiday this year.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's
actually I don't even know if it falls on the weekend, but I do know it's a holiday.
Yeah,
made official. Yeah. So, how have you enjoyed the long weekends?
I got to catch up with a lot of my family. I learned how to make crepes. I did a lot of cooking actually over the Easter weekend. I didn't eat a lot of. I didn't eat actually any Easter eggs, but I did cook a lot of food and had a lot of, food with family. How about yourself? Did you get up to much over Easter?
No, we had a lot of family over. And, yeah, just a bit tired of hosting now. Yeah.
Yeah.
When you see crepes, what brought that on?
Because at the night markets at Upper Rickerton.
Yeah.
There was like a crepe store there, and I always used to look forward to the Saturday nights when they'd have the night market. Mm. And I'd go there specifically for that. And then I was like, why not just learn to make it? And then I learned how easy it was to make it. And I was like, bruh, I could have just had crepes whenever I wanted instead of having to wait like every Saturday.
Is there a certain filling that I'm asking because a while ago, I used to make crepes.
Mm.
Like, that was my job.
Your job?
Yeah. A while ago, it was my job. I worked for a place called the Crepe Cafe, and I spun crepes. You pour the mixture into that big platter thing, and you use this.
How long ago was this?
To make the crepe, and then you slice underneath, turn it over. See, I still got the motions for it.
Man.
Yeah.
I never knew this about it. When did you do this?
It was by one of my jobs after high school.
Oh, okay.
Did it for a year or so. My brother brought the cafe and at Sylvia Park. And, it was called the Crepe Cafe. First time I ever heard of what a crepe was. Mm. And that's where I worked for Christmas. And to pay him back because he paid for my trip to go to Europe.
Yeah. My filling that I like to use is just Nutella, bananas and cream.
Oh, nice. Yeah, dessert crepes. There's also, I really miss this one they called the farmhouse, and it was like bechamel sauce, mushroom, cheese, chicken, and in a crepe. It was delicious. Savory crepes are really good. So I know a lot of people sell the dessert ones, but if they actually did proper, like the ones that used to be done at the cafe, they're delicious.
You need to send me the ingredients on how to make that one.
Mm, yeah.
Yeah. Another thing that happened over the weekend was the Crusaders finally lost at home to the Blues.
What a nail biter, eh?
Yes. I was in the grandstand, you know, the ball that was chucked out by who I thought was going to be Severis.
Yeah.
I was in that corner of the grandstand, and I couldn't see who he had flung the ball out to, but in my head it was Severis because he had received the ball the last two tries.
Yeah.
So, like, as soon as the ball went wide and I seen the two defenders, two Blues defenders sort of in, and he flung it out, and I was like, oh, my gosh, try time.
Yes,
and I stood up, and I didn't see Severis, and I was like, oh, my gosh, please run.
On TV, like, it was as if they put it on slow-mo.
Yeah.
It felt like that.
Yeah.
Poor guy, big lock.
Yeah.
19 years of age.
I think he's a Marist boy.
From Marist,
from
yep.
Marist, yeah. I thought it was try time, and I stood up and I was about to go, yeah, and I was like, oh my gosh, please run. But you said you saw it on TV. I saw it in like flesh, and you're right, it did look like slow-mo.
I was like, why is this guy not running?
Oh man, but you know, Rico Ioane was the one that made the tackle away, so.
And captain.
Yeah. So they were able to cover a lot of ground quite quickly anyway. But it was a nail bite of a game, and props to the Blues as well for the win. 18 years since it happened. But, yeah, it can only mean we get good rugby.
Yeah, no.
You know, it's been so long since we've had, you know, really good rugby here. It's always been Crusaders just win, and you're like, oh, gets a bit boring.
It's so good when the Blues are up and coming.
Mm.
Or have got the foot on the gas, because it only makes it more exciting. So well done to the Blues.
Yeah, and props also to the Crusaders for just being consistently good every weekend, because without their consistency, no other team would, you know, be able to keep up with it. A lot of the Blues supporters came out of the woodworks.
Yeah, it's the same with the Crusaders and the All Blacks, where like if another team is winning 40-0 at half time against the Crusaders or the All Blacks, there's always this, they can always come back.
Yeah.
You know? You wouldn't think, like, if the Blues were down 40-0, you'd be like, oh, yeah, this is going to stretch out to 80-0.
Yeah.
But if it's the Crusaders, they were down 40-0, you'd be like, this is going to be a close one.
Speaking about rugby, I bought new rugby boots, so I've got my first game in about 5 years tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
So looking forward to that one, and yeah, I don't know how it's going
to
go.
I'd be keen to come and watch. So,
I think it's a home game.
Yeah.
So
for what team?
Crushers.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm playing for Crushers because Dante was like, they need some players, but you know, it's been 5 years.
Is the Crushers Rainbow team?
I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
What do you mean by Rainbow team?
I think they're the first ever. Like, I think they're the only Rainbow team, like fully rainbow team, or like they were fully rainbow team until you joined. But yeah, Christchurch has a rainbow team playing in the comp, which is cool.
Okay, no, I don't know that, eh? But yeah, wish me luck tomorrow. Hopefully, I can last longer than 5-10 minutes.
Yeah,
I told Dante, bro, I'm like. Check me on for the last 5 minutes, because my fitness is absolutely not there right now. So I'll be looking forward to that. Do you have anything coming up? Or
Not in particular, no.
One article I read recently. Did you read an article about a guy in the States who specifically requested not to have a surprise party?
Yeah, read that.
Birthday party?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then the boss and their team, I think, did one anyway, and then he got a panic attack. But the reason why he asked not to have one was because I get panic attacks. And then they said, they did one anyway. Lo and behold, he had a panic attack, went to his car, had lunch there basically, and, you know, texted to his boss, you know, I told you about this. And then I think went in, and then I think got told off basically for
like
not being grateful or whatever. And then he had another panic attack, went to his car, and then they sent him home for a couple of days.
Yeah.
And then on his return, he got fired. But then he sued them and he got $600K.
Yeah. $600K New Zealand dollars.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
that's a good pass. So that's a really good, you know, when you ask someone not to do something for medical reasons, don't do it, right?
Don't do it. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, that article stuck with me, so that is why this week's upu of the week is
Leai.
No.
Just no. Leai.
Just Leai.
Leai fa'a mole mole means no, thank you.
Yeah, so yeah, if your mum says, hey, son, go do the dishes, say Leai and you get in trouble. But yes, that segues into our chat today. We'll be talking about the powers of saying no, saying le, the importance of saying no, you know, in the workplace or just in general. Because a lot of us do like to say yes or You know, they don't like to say no and stuff. So we'll be chatting about why it is very important, not only for your mental health, but your physical health too, and why you should always consider saying no. Join us after this.
Are you interested in taking part in or learning more about Pacifica Crafting?
Join the Island Breeze Social Club each Tuesday afternoon.
Call the friendly staff at Tangata Atumotu Trust on 0800 727 434 for further details or to arrange for a pickup.
Welcome back to the chat. As Sam was saying before, we are talking about the importance of saying no, why it's powerful. So saying yes to others can have a powerful impact on your career, your reputation, your professional growth. But saying no, especially when it's uncomfortable to do so, is one of the most powerful steps you can take in your personal growth. Just reading that statement right there is absolutely true, because we did a talk about this at work. I would consider myself to be a yes man. Whenever something comes up, if someone comes to me with a problem and they're like, can you help me with this, can you do this, and I've got a full plate, I will more than likely say yes, I'll help. Absolutely. Yourself?
At my old job, I used to be like that, but then I saw things weren't changing, so then I started saying no. One of my workmates, I was basically pleading with them to say no, because all these extra shifts came up because people were leaving, but while people were leaving, they weren't replacing anyone. And this guy was like, oh, you know, just I want more money. I was like, that's cool, but in the long run, you're just helping the company limp through this period, and they're not finding replacements, which is in turn pressuring everyone else. So I was like, because he was always keen to do the extra shifts, I was like, but I just say no, because they used to ask me, and then I just keep saying no, because I knew if I said no, I would force their hand into doing what they should do, which is find new people.
Yeah.
But they never did for months, and this guy just kept picking up the extra shifts, and then, you know, he started complaining about being tired, and I was like, bro, just stop taking the extra shifts, you know. But he was one of those guys that always wanted to be liked, or always wanted to, you know, look good under, you know, his boss's light or stuff like that. So, yeah, it's good to say yes, but then for me, it was like the bigger picture, you know, say no. If you say no, I say no, no one picks up these extra shifts. You're forcing management to find new people. But because he kept doing them, he ended up doing like 80-hour weeks, you know, and I was like, that's all cool, but you're not helping us, you know? You know, you're complaining about the short staffage, but you're helping them, you know, by covering all these shifts. Yeah. So you definitely need to say no in some points, but, you know, I couldn't get through with the guy, and it was probably one of the main reasons I ended up leaving that company, and, you know, I'm in a much better space now. We do have some points here that just briefly want to cover. First one here is, you're responsible for creating your own boundaries. If you're consistently finding yourself in uncomfortable situations with people who want to give you more and more of yourself, it's likely because you aren't taking responsibility for creating boundaries. What's stopping you from saying no, from saying enough? Is it fear? Are you trying to please others? If so, ask yourself, is this a person in your life? Is it serving you to keep in place?
And I think from this webinar that I hosted, we had a guest speaker speak about the importance of saying no. And she said that the more you get asked is basically because you are good at what you do. It's one of those things where, you're so good at your job, here's more work kind of situation. Mm. And it happens at any sort of workplace that you're working at. As you said, this guy kept taking it on shifts, and it was affecting how the work ran itself, and it was affecting its employees, you guys, at that time. And I think looking on it, when I was reflecting upon it, you know, I say yes purely because I'm looking to help someone out. Someone will become last-minute request. Can you help with this? Can you help with that? And I'll take it on. But what happens is I start leaving the other things that I have on my plate. I'll start working on that one straight away. And then everything starts to build up all at the same time. Start missing things on my other work. And yeah, it's and then you start feeling a bit anxious about things. And then you're like, oh, okay, I'm not going to look at that for now. I'll work on this new thing.
And when you say yes to other people and, you know, when they ask you to do something, you've also got that pressure that they are relying on you, you know. So that's probably why you end up putting your own stuff to the back, right?
Mm, yeah. But then you forget that this other stuff that you just put to the back, someone else is relying on you for that.
Mm.
So that's where the importance of saying no and not always saying yes. I mean, yes is good. I mean, you'd want to say yes if you want to stand out, right?
Yeah.
If you want to show that you can do stuff and if you want to, I guess, stand out from the crowd and say yes to a few things, that helps. That helps a lot.
Hmm.
But boundaries is what is the point that we just read.
Yeah. I think that's what I was mentioning in my old job where I said no, so then they stopped asking me.
Mm.
So if you're someone that always says yes, they're always going to ask you, and they're going to keep asking because you haven't set that boundary, and they just think, oh, they can do it, you know. So, yeah, it would help if you set those boundaries real early too, but if you are finding it difficult these days, it might just help just to say no every now and then. One point here I have is each time you say no to something that you would have said yes to in the past, you are strengthening your muscle to create boundaries and making it easier to say no in the future.
Yeah, more practice saying no is definitely what's needed.
Is there something you've said no to that you really wanted to do but you knew you just couldn't do it?
That I've said no to?
Yeah.
Oh, let's say, oh, well, okay, I've got a really good example here. Sunday school. I'm quite bogged down with work. And I've got a lot going on, and Sunday school's come back around. And just last week, they put out a notice saying, hey, look, we have got only half the teachers available now. A lot of the teachers pulled out, and we've only got X amount of teachers to students now. Seth, do you mind staying on and being a teacher? And I said yes, but with a condition. I just said yes. But I'm only going to be a, what do you call those teachers that are like, just consult teachers that come every so often?
Teacher aid?
Yeah, like teacher aid kind of person.
Yeah.
So like a fully stepping back, and I just, yes. I could have just said no. Like I need to also, you know, I've got other stuff that I need to do. So if I come to church, that means I have to drive all the way back to pick up mum to bring her back after Sunday school to attend church.
Yeah.
Like, and then, you know, me and mum get to church late.
And you were doing all that all last year, right?
Yeah, I did it all last year. And I don't know, something was, yeah. So could I have said no? Maybe in this case, I just felt I couldn't because they were low on staff. But at the same time, I'm just going to, at the same time, I was able to put in the boundaries there.
Yeah. I think that the example of yours reads well into this next point that we have is the next time you feel caught between wanting to make someone else happy and wanting to make yourself happy, just remember, saying no to whatever they are asking of you is just another way of saying yes to what you truly want to commit yourself to.
Mm. Yeah. In this case, if I had said no, I guess I just would have had more time up my sleeve to take mum to church in the morning. But then also, like, because I have dedicated my Sundays to teaching, now Eva and I can't go out for the weekends and enjoy that for a certain part of the year.
So. Yeah. And you already done it, like, once, you know, or you did it last year, you know. You can, you know, maybe your time will free up next year, but you've already done a lot of work. And the fact that you said no, but oh, yes, but on the condition that you just come in as like an aid or something is quite good too.
Yeah, I do see it as growth as well because I'm absolutely a person that will hand up, say yes, I'll help you out. Not for wanting to stand out or anything, but just wanting to lend a hand.
Oh, so you're saying that growth-wise, being able to say yes, but with conditions.
Yeah.
So limiting, you know, I can help you out, but I can only do this.
Yeah, and I was pretty clear in that. I said in a couple of weeks I won't be at, I won't be in Christchurch.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. Just gave that kind of reasoning behind it.
Because had you just fully said yes, there would be just so much stress. And I think that's what we're trying to touch base on is, you know, not saying yes to everything. But, you know, if you want to say yes, put some conditions on it so that you're not stressing yourself out. You know, could, like, you know, mentally affect you, physically affect you. One rule that I read, which is really good if you're struggling to say no, is to live in the realm of either, like, hell yes or hell no. So if it's a, just no, you know. So if it's something that you absolutely want to do and you have time to do, you should absolutely say yes. But if it's something where straight away you're thinking, oh, I would like to, just no. Just straight away no. So if you're struggling to start off, that's that was a rule that I read up. That a person spoke about living in the realm of either yes, fully yes, or absolutely no.
Mm. Yeah, that's a good way to think about it. And that just comes down to weighing it up.
Mm.
Considerate yeses and considerate noes. Same as the hell yes and hell no, really.
Yeah. So I think I'll try this living in the realm of absolutely yes or absolutely no to start off with. But yeah, that's just some tips on keeping mentally fit with saying no. You know, make sure you don't overwork yourself, don't overstress yourself, and it is absolutely okay to say no.
Mm, absolutely. Because the most precious commodity that you're putting up, if you say yes or no, the commodity you're putting up is time.
Mm.
And time is the most precious commodity in human life because it's a limited resource.
Yeah.
And yeah, you can't live without it. So yeah, that's my 5 cents worth and on that conversation. But yeah.
Well, hopefully you've enjoyed us talking about no. But yeah, join us after this.
To all our mātua out there who want to dance and get fit to Pasifika music, join our Siva Samoa dance classes each Thursday at 11 a.m.
Call the friendly staff at Tangata Atumotu Trust on 0800 727 434 for further details or to arrange for a pickup.
After that chat about saying no, have you ever been pressured into saying yes and then just it screw up completely?
Oh, man. I can't really think of one off the top of my head. I think maybe going back to Sunday school plays. That's the only thing I can think of off the top of my head. You know,
because we just talked about Sunday school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Being shy on stage and you know, when you're really young and you get bribed with McDonald's and you're like, okay, I got it.
Have I been pressured into saying yes? Well, the Sunday school thing is kind of falls into that category because I do feel not pressured. I just, you know. Mm. I think...
You felt pressured because the way they asked.
Yeah.
They could have just asked, do you want to stay on? But they're like, hey, we've had a whole lot of teachers drop out. Can you please stay on?
This example's come into mind. And I think you were there with me, actually.
Yeah.
Were you with me? There was a time when that theatre show called... It was a massive theatre show, and I had no idea it was that massive. It was called Black Swan or something. Was that you? And, like, we had to go film it because their film crew...
Yes.
Was that you?
Yeah,
it was. It was a massive show, eh?
Yeah, thought it was something small.
I thought it was going to be something small, and they were like, oh, please, can you help us? Like, our film crew pulled out last minute. Can you come and film the show? And we're like, all right, thinking it was just a school play.
Mm.
Show up in like the address was the Isaac Theatre Royale. We go in there and it's just the massive, and that took me months of editing, bro. I know that play from start to finish.
Did you have to edit it as well?
I edited the entire thing, like, while I was at work.
So not only did he ask us to film it, he also asked you to edit it.
And put it onto DVD. And I don't even know how that guy found us, or it was just a chance meeting.
Yeah, I remember that. And it was like a full-on production that people bought tickets to. And we're standing going way out of our depths. Like, we'd never done anything like this before. So I don't know. Yeah. I think you said yes to it, and you're like, hey, Oos, do you want to come film this high school play? And I was like, oh, yeah, all good. Turn up, and it's like, bro, these people are
this
like...
This is a professional production.
Yeah, these people are like New Zealand ballet.
So
it was a dope production, though. I really enjoyed it.
It was professional. It was just... It had, like, the big posters and everything.
Mm.
It was only when we showed up to the arena, to the theatre, we were like, oh, my gosh. I remember going to set up the camera at the top thing, and then these people came and were like, oh, excuse me, we've got tickets to these seats. And I was just like...
Oh, it was me, you, and Avile.
And I remember,
and a four?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, yeah, a four took the photo of you sitting on the throne and me and I remember the photo now.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man. That was something I should have said no to.
Yeah.
But that's how much I'm willing to help someone. I'll jump in and film there, whatever. And that was two or three back-to-back nights that we filmed Black Swan or Dark Swan, whatever it was called. Yeah.
It's good you brought that up, because just another tip for everyone is when you say yes to something, make sure you know what you're saying yes to, okay? Like, it's good to say no, and it's also good to say yes, but just make sure you absolutely know what you're getting yourself into when you say yes.
Yes. But, yeah. Keep that in your mind. Make it a hell yes or a hell no. Thank you so much for joining us on the show. If you missed this podcast or any of the other ones, you're welcome to download them from the Sam Sefa Radio page or the Plains FM website. We'd like to thank Tangata Atamotu Trust for powering the show. Have an awesome weekend from Sam and I.
Pollyhood.
That was Pollyhood, proudly sponsored by Tangata Atumotu Trust. To find out more about us, call 03 377 2016 or find us online at tat.org.nz.